You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Chris Loffrey. Lori Walsh is off today. Niels Ebbesen Hansen was born in Denmark in 1866. He emigrated to the U.S. in 1872. He went to college in Iowa and was a professor of horticulture at SDSU. Today we talk with his great-granddaughter, Jean Peterson. Jean, welcome to In the Moment.
Hi.
Well, your great-grandfather lived an absolutely amazing life. He was born in 1866, as I mentioned, passed in 1950, doing just all kinds of things along the way. Let's get started by detailing what kind of guy Mr. Hansen was.
He liked poetry. Mm-hmm. This is something they don't talk about too much, but he liked that. He was definitely a scientist and an explorer. He wanted to go places and see things, and he had this passion for South Dakota, and it grew, and he wanted to get plants that would benefit South Dakota. And so he traveled to Russia and Siberia and China and all these across the ocean to places that would have climate sort of similar to South Dakota so that he could, and the harsh climate, so that he could bring plant material that could be to bred with the plant material from South Dakota to make things that would grow well and that South Dakota could benefit from.
Which was quite remarkable. In 1895, then South Dakota State College, which we know now as South Dakota State University, appointed him to build its horticulture department. And to this day, Jean, that is quite a program in Brookings.
Right, yeah. Also, one of the things, in Brookings is the McCrory Gardens, mm-hmm. where there is a Hansen Garden, where there's plants that that he introduced. They're not the original plants, but it's, you know, the generations we've been able to have the same plant material. And so there's a little section of the McCrory Gardens that has the Hansen Garden in there. And I helped them get some of the plants there when I was studying him. And I got plants that were still in, that you can, still in commerce today, things that you can, plants that you can buy, some of the crabapple trees and things like that. There's the horticultural crops, the alfalfa, it still goes on. But the things I was interested in were the landscaping plants, because that's kind of what I'm into in Lincoln, Nebraska. But anyway, there's those plants there that you can see that are still around, and there's rose bushes that are still growing. I have them in my yard. So I got these plants that I put in my yard, and then I got duplicate plants when I was able to find them and sent them or had them sent to McCrory Gardens so that they would have this Hansen Garden collection too.
Now, moving ahead a few years from 1895, in 1949, a monument in recognition of Dr. Hansen was erected on the campus. And I've never been there, but I'm sure you and your family have been able to see this monument.
We have. Yeah, it's like a big rock with a plaque put on it. And so that was that rock was originally on a different place on campus, but then now when they, at some point during when they changed the McCrory Gardens, I have a picture of, in 1949 or whatever, when they had that, when they had the recognition. So it was like my grandparents, which are, his kids, and then their kids, which are my aunts and uncles, are pictured around this big stone, which is now in the McCrory Gardens, in a particular area. So you can still go and stand by the same, I have a picture of me standing behind the same rock where they had, the memory of him there. And so that's in the McCrory Gardens. So, yeah, that's kind of neat.
If you're just joining us.
He was honored in lots of ways. People, sure. They recognized the things that he had done. And so it's nice.
Right. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Jean Peterson. She's the great-granddaughter of Niels Ebbesen Hansen, and he's being inducted into the South Dakota Hall of Fame next week. One thing I found interesting, and he was appointed a U.S. Plant Explorer number one in 1987 by the USDA, which is the United States Department of Agriculture, and that's quite the title. Do you know by chance what that meant?
Well, the number one, he was the first.
Okay.
He was the first USDA plant explorer. Mm-hmm. And so plant explorer number one. That's how I understand it anyway.
That's how I kind of gathered it too. And you talked about this earlier that Mr. Hansen, Dr. Hansen, I should say, he went through remote regions of Europe, Asia, and China, and he was looking for things that he could crossbreed, wasn't he?
Right. Plant material that, the genetics from that plant material would work well with things that he could cross with things in South Dakota. And mm-hmm. like, so he traveled in South Dakota and up into Canada too, and things to get, I don't know, well, like when he was doing, you know, the cherries and the fruit trees and things, that he could get hardy root stock and that he could, you know, and things that he could cross with these plants that we have.
And we're talking like crested wheatgrass and brome grass, right, and hardy Cossack alfalfa, various legumes and other crops. You know,
right, and soybeans and, yeah, right, the wheat and, yeah, yeah.
It seems like, to me and probably yourself and others that may be listening, that crossbreeding plants is such a simple concept because we grew up on that. It seems to me like, given the time it was rather brilliant thinking and ability to do that.
Right, right. It is. I mean, it was. And I know, I don't, like, a lot more has happened in genetics since then, but then it was kind of the beginning of this whole idea that you could, what you could do with the plant material and how that works. And like the gene, the germplasm, the same genetic material that he brought back, I mean, that's being stored, and the government stores it in these various locations. A lot of that plant material is still available, and if you request it from them, then you can, you know, if you're into the horticulture thing, you can use that same plant material to do your own hybrids and crosses and things.
You know, and those plants that were introduced have been made publicly available through Gurney's Seed and Nursery in Yankton, South Dakota. And
right.
Your great-grandfather had a hand in that. That's quite remarkable.
Exactly, yeah. My grandma would always, the Gurney's catalog, that's where we'd always get our seeds. I mean, I always have to, you know, go find the Hansen stuff. You can still, there's not so much of it in there anymore, but there's a few things. The Hansen cherry is one thing that every time I get the catalog, I always open it up and see if that's still there, you know. Because, and there were more before. The older issues of the Gurney's catalogs have a lot more stuff, but there's still a few things in there today.
Sure. Well, we're kind of short on time. We've got a couple of minutes left, but what can you tell us about the Hansen hybrid plums? I'm not going to make me hungry now, but what about the Hansen hybrid plums?
I read
about that online. Maybe you don't know much about that, but
that was probably not something that I have a bunch of these
sure,
growing in my yard because they were ones that were available. That way they're good. Yeah, I get my husband to, whenever the crop comes, then we just have a lot. I mean, it seems like it's not every year, but when they're going, they're really going. And so I have him making me, he's made plum jelly and plum jam, and you can make a lot of different things out of plum. And the crab apple, the dog a crab apple, make crab apple jelly, but.
I also read that he developed a larger apricot by crossing the native varieties with the ones he brought back from Asia, which is just fascinating to me.
Exactly, yeah. That's exactly what he was into.
Yeah. And we can kind of get away from plants and seeds and things like that, because he not only did that, he built shelter belts around that he introduced and
right,
with these grasses and stuff. Are you aware of where these are at, and have you seen them?
I guess not specifically. There were some areas around in Brookings that I used to know where there were some trees that he had planted. But I think it's a lot of the shelter belts in South Dakota have some of this, you know, same plant material.
Just because of the things he was crossbreeding and things like that. And he brought all these plants and such back from other countries to raise them here and then crossbreed them with American plants, which, like you made reference to earlier, just made them essentially stronger.
Right.
And then, you know, without even knowing Mr. Hansen, there are gardens all over that are blooming with flowers and orchards that still produce the fruits of his labor. These are all things we don't think about until times like right now, the discussion we're having. And introducing someone like Mr. Hansen to the public, it's quite amazing, if you really think about it, the stuff that he accomplished.
Yep, it is. It's an honor to say that he's my great-grandfather, yep.
Yes.
And so it will be fun to do the, you know, to honor him for the Hall of Fame event. I mean, I think that's really cool.
I hope you and your family get a chance to get out there on September 8th and 9th. I assume you're going to do that, correct?
Yep. We're planning. I got my whole gang coming, and my brothers are coming, and some of the, so Hansen, he had two kids, so Carl and Eva, and so the Carl side, some of them are coming too, and
great.
Then I'm the Eva Hansen that turned to Gilkerson.
Perfect.
Yeah, to Peterson to me.
Jean Peterson's the great-granddaughter of Niels Ebbesen Hansen, is going to be inducted into the South Dakota Hall of Fame next week. Jean, thank you so much for your time today, and much congratulations to you and your family.
Oh, thank you.